The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
And Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
Today we come together to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all flesh, the formation of the Church. We see the beginnings of the movement of the Spirit to bring the redeeming love of God to all people. Luke will relate in the rest of the book of Acts the way the Spirit forms the church across ethnic, geographic, and socioeconomic divisions, such that Paul will say, in Christ there is no Jew or Greek, no male, no female, no slave, nor free. And by the second century, the church was expanded and grown to be considered a threat to even the stability of society, because your religion was no longer defined by the city in which you lived or the tribe or nation from which you came. And I look at the world around us, the nation and culture that has its roots in this movement of the church, and I see the now and the not yet of Pentecost, the fulfillment of the promise and the fullness of the promise yet to come. Two news stories in particular made me long for the promise of Pentecost. First, the tragic death of George Floyd and the response across the nation reminded me of the deep-seated generational and systemic divisions along racial lines that remain. We may no longer be divided between Greek and Jew, but the unholy division between black and white, and more broadly, between white and non-white, still permeates our culture and even our churches and ourselves. Second, and I emphasize completely unrelated, I read a fascinating article about the growing ability of computer technology and machine learning to fabricate video that is indistinguishable from real images. You know, we've had to deal with fabricated oral accounts, false witness, since the beginning of speech. We've had to deal with fabricated print stories since the beginning of writing, sometimes with more success than others. But the advent of realistic video that could be of a completely computer-generated person that never existed, or of a real person speaking or acting in a way that never occurred, that is indistinguishable from a real image. It's a way that has never occurred before that makes us question not only what we read, but what we see and we hear. So as we celebrate this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this Pentecost, let us ask again, what is race and what is truth? The questions of what is race and what is truth are not new. They're found in some of the earliest chapters of the Bible. In fact, the question between truth and deception
is in the first story of people. Satan tempts Adam and Eve. Did God really say? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit as the disciples were gathered together to celebrate Pentecost provides for us a lens by which to understand both the history and the future. Let's start with the origin of the ethnos, the nations or the races on the plains of Shinar. In chapter 10 of Genesis, we have a listing of the descendants of Noah, followed by the story of how these descendants populated the world. And this listing and this story is bridged by this summary. These are the clans of the sons of Noah, according to their genealogies, in their nations. And from these, the nations spread abroad on the earth after the flood. What do we learn about these nations and their spreading in chapter 11? They were all together. They spoke one language. They developed this wondrous technology of making bricks. They decided that they would build for themselves a tower to reach into heavens, thus make a name for themselves. They would be known by their making and not by their maker. So we hear that God confused their language and scattered them over all the face of the earth. Then, from among these scattered nations, God chose one man as the father of a people that would be known by his name and manifest his name to all the other nations. From Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, God called forth his people. And after leading them out of Egypt, God appeared before them on Mount Sinai in thunder and lightning, in smoke, and in a noise that sounded like many trumpets. God revealed his character and his nature as he gave the gift of his name in the law, the Torah. It is this giving of the law that the disciples were celebrating in Jerusalem as they gathered for the Feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, the 50 days counted after the Passover, or Pentecost, the 50 days. And the Spirit came upon them in a rush of wind and fire, imagery much like the appearance of God on Mount Sinai, and the fire which came down from heaven as the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And now we see God creating a new people, a new nation, a new ethnos, the church. In Jerusalem were gathered for the festivals Jews who had been scattered among all the nations under heaven by exile and by immigration. Luke describes them as devout. They returned to Jerusalem in accordance with the law to keep the festival. They maintained themselves as different from others by keeping the law, eating differently, praying differently, worshiping differently, working differently. Their identity, both ethnically and religiously, was centered in Jerusalem, but their language was that of the nations. And then came the Holy Spirit, and everything changed. So as we celebrate this outpouring of the Holy Spirit at this Pentecost, let us ask again, what is race? What is truth? What is race in this post-Pentecost world? Pentecost redefines race. It redefines ethnos. No longer are people divided by differences in language, but each hears the same message in their own language. No longer divided, but united, being formed not in the name of themselves, but in the name of God. We now have the ethnos, the nation, the race of the church. The beginning of the radical nature of Christianity is a religion that was no longer tied to geography or nationality. No longer the religion of the Jews, but a radically inclusive way that transcends the old concepts of nations and tribes. No longer bound to a city or a temple, but inhabiting and forming all peoples into one heavenly city, one heavenly temple, one heavenly people.
We no longer find our identity in our nationality, our gender, our socioeconomic status, our profession, our denomination, our political party, or any of the other terribly small ways that we seek to define ourselves. Instead, we find our identity, both individually and corporately, in the mystery of the Trinity. We are baptized into the name, into the tribe, the heritage, the nation, the ethnos, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We find our individual identity as the beloved by the gift of the Holy Spirit. By that same gift, we find our corporate identity as the body of Christ. By this mystery, we have a new birth. We're no longer children of a tribe or a nation. We are children of God. We are a new nation, a new people, a new creation. People transformed and transforming, living into our newness by the gifts of the Spirit which are given for the benefit and building up of the church so that we may grow in faith, in hope, and most of all, in love. This is often so much bigger than we can grasp, so we try to make it small. But let us remember that the Holy Spirit does not form this group of people worshiping together into a church. The Holy Spirit transforms and conforms us into the church. Those who worship in all places and in all times are conformed into one church, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now we ask, what is truth? In the light of Pentecost, we can know that we do not find truth in what we see or hear in the world, especially not in this day and age where we can choose to see and hear anything that tickles our ears or catches our eyes. We can choose not to see anything that disturbs or challenges us. We do not find truth in hearts that are captive to the lies of the world, beholden to the idols that surround us. We do not find truth in what we think should be, or in a reality or a story that we create for ourselves as we try once again to make a name for ourselves, finding our identity yet again in our making and not in our maker. Friends, we only find truth, that capital T truth, as the Spirit of truth is manifest in the people of God. So today, we celebrate. We celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to us as promised, as comforter, as helper, advocate. The Spirit of truth, the Spirit that convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Spirit of peace, the Spirit that heals deeply the wounds of all creation. The Spirit that makes us new, the Spirit that makes us one. The Spirit that brings the new covenant, the very revelation of God to his people, no longer on tablets of stone, but on the very flesh of our hearts. Spirit that leads us to worship, not on a high mountain or in a building made by human hands, but to worship in spirit and in truth, in the temple fashioned by the Holy Spirit out of living stones, out of you and me and all the church and all the world coming together. People categorized by a single radical practice. Practice of love. Jesus tells us, if you love me, when you love me, you have fulfilled all the requirements of the law. And Jesus commands us to love one another as he loved us. That we will become a people known among all people by the love we show. Our name, our reputation, our reliance, and our heritage will be love. Even for those who don't return it. Even for those who call themselves our enemies. The love that is the greatest of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The key to what Paul describes as the better way. A radical love that says, this is my body that is given for you, so that you may have life. So, as we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on this day, as we come to this table, hear the words of love. This is my body, which is given for you. This is my blood, shed for the life of the world. I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will hear once more these words, the very core of your being, and know how truly and deeply you are loved by God. And I pray that you will carry this love with you to everyone that you encounter this week. I pray that in the light of this radical love that burns within you, that everyone that you meet will know how truly and deeply they are loved by God. In a few minutes, we'll walk out of here into a world that is filled with uncertainty, oppression, fear, hatred, lies, and deep-seated problems that have no easy answers. As we walk out of this place today, there are many things that I don't know. I don't know how to fix our economy. I don't know how to get complete and factual information on any number of topics. I don't know how to heal the deep wounds of systemic racism and inequality. I don't know how to heal the wounds and divisions among the people who call themselves Christian. But I do know this. I do know that without love, I can do nothing at all. Do you know that I am called to love even when I don't know how to love? And most importantly, I do know that the Holy Spirit leads me, teaches me, corrects me, and empowers me to love. May we all walk together in this radical love. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.